Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to worship with you guys today. Grace and peace to you from Grace Baptist Church up in China Grove and from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always an honor and a privilege for me and Lori to come to Southside. Thank you for the music, for the playing, for the singing, and for the building. We don't have a building. It's kind of nice to come in and sit and have a cushion on your seat and not have to tear it down afterwards. So it's our home away from home. This is where we come when we're not at our place. So thank you guys for taking us in. My older sister's here. Did I say older? My younger sister's here and her husband, Jamie and Chris, so we're glad to have them, and you make them welcome. We always pray for you guys. We pray for the body at Southside. We never not pray for the body at Southside and for your elders in our meetings. So we lift you up all the time and pray for you often. You got me up here early, so we're going to eat early today, which is a good thing. I do have a goal today, and it's simple, because I am simple. Not very smart, and this is not my calling here and job as standing before people preaching, so I hope it'll be simple enough that you can get it. My goal today is to encourage you all with the Word of God about the love of God. Our text this morning is one verse, and it's really not even the totality of one verse. I just cut it in two. So it's 1 John 3, verse 1, the first part. And we'll read that and then we'll pray and we'll dive in. 1 John 3, 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for life. We thank you for breath. Father, we thank you for heartbeat. Father, we do nothing to keep that going. You do. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity together. Father, every good gift comes from you. And Father, today we praise you for how you meet our needs, how you take care of us. Father, how you've brought these people together today and formed them as a body. Father, you've given them a place to worship, a place to be a light in the midst of the community that they live. Father, most of all, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for what he's done, for coming, for living, and for dying, not deservingly, but for us as enemies, rebels, children of wrath. Father, you gave your life. Oh, what great love, Father, we see that you have bestowed on us, that you would call us your children. Father, it's almost unfathomable and unbelievable that we get to come to your table. We get to go to your home. Father, we get to be called yours. And Father, we even get to pray and we even get to talk to you. Father, it's by Christ breaking down the barrier that allows us to come to you. Father, you desire us to pray. You command us to, but you also love for us to come to our Father. Father, I ask today you help me. You know my inside. You know my weakness, my fears, my sins. Father, push them to the side, blot them out, and help your word minister to these people today. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to illustrate with a couple of stories today, maybe the truth that we're going to get to, and hopefully it will help you. So, at Grace Baptist Church, we meet every Sunday morning, just like you guys do, but we meet at South Rowan YMCA. Our sanctuary is a gym. We have two gyms in our sanctuary. This would be one gym, which we would meet in. This would be the other gym that is empty. And we have a curtain that goes right down the middle, kind of blocks these two off. So we sing and we preach and we worship over here. This one's kind of empty or taken out for kids that are disobedient that we whip. They're over here. After our service is over, after we sit for an hour and listen to our pastor, our kids are revved up, man. They're ready to go. Okay? So as soon as Amen's done, our kids run from this side of the sanctuary to this side of the sanctuary. And they're running and they're playing tag and they're kicking balls and they're doing all these kind of things while the adults are over here fellowshipping and talking about the sermon and doing this. So we got two different kind of things going on. So a few weeks ago, I just stood at the curtain watching our kids, just watching this little scene, this little drama play out. All our kids are playing, probably 25 of them, running around in their own little games, 3 and 4 in the pieces. And little by little, the parents get up and come over here and say, "Come on, Johnny," and they walk out. And little by little, our 25 and 30 is dwindling. It's getting a little smaller. And I'm sitting there just watching this. And this one little guy's over there just bouncing a ball. And he's as happy as he could be and having a good time. And he finally turns around and there's nobody left. And everybody's kind of gone. And he's over here drilling. He turns around and I'm sitting there watching him. And then he realizes everybody's gone. And from being happy and bouncy and caring, I could see fear come across him and panic. And from being smiley, I could see his little lip starting to, I was thinking, this kid thinks he's lost. And he says, "Daddy, Daddy." So I go over there and I say, "Hey, how you? Your dad's right over here. He's right." And I take him here and take him over here, finds his daddy, and everything's good, and he goes home. Story number one. It's probably happened to all of us. I can remember shopping when I was real little. It was probably her fault, but I hated shopping. So I would play hide and seek and all these, you're getting a rack of clothes. Every kid's getting in the middle of a rack, you gotta hide. And I come out and couldn't find my mama. And the first thing I thought of was, she's left me. I mean, I felt about you. You're looking around. You panic. This is kind of what happened. Story two, a little more serious. Situation in North Africa in a country called Rwanda, about 13 or 14 years ago in the papers. Suppose you're a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old, and you're playing in your village, and suddenly you hear screams and running, and you turn around and you see a whole group of angry men coming to you with spears and machetes, and you run as fast as you can and you hide under a basket that your mother has woven. You stay there for what seems to be forever, as you hear screams and cries, till everything gets quiet. You get the courage to stick your head up out of the little basket, and nobody's there. Every person is dead. Your mother's dead, your father's dead, and your brother and sisters are dead. And you begin to cry. You find your mother and you lay down on her body and you sob yourself to sleep. And you realize you are all alone. You're terrified. You're hungry. You're thirsty. Who's going to protect you if the enemy comes again? Or wild animals? Or I get sick. Where am I going to go? Another day passes and you have no idea what to do. And you begin to think you're just going to lay there and die. And suddenly you hear a sound behind you and you turn and you see this tall man standing there. And he calls out to you in your own language and he says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to help you." You want to run. Where are you going to go? Everybody's dead. There's no place to hide. He comes over to you and gives you a piece of bread and some water. And he says, "I tried to stop them. I tried to stop them. And then you notice the cuts on his arms and the blood on his face. And he says, I'm sorry about your mom and your dad. I'll help you bury them. As he digs the graves, you learn that he belongs to the tribe that slaughtered your family and your village. He and his son got up in front of him and said, don't go, don't go. They disagree with the raid. They put themselves between each other. The man's son was killed. And suddenly you feel his loss. His decision to protect you cost his son's life. And then he says, if you'll come with me, I'll take care of you. I promise I'll take care of you. And a little bit of hope begins to rise in the little boy. And you go with this man. And in time you learn he has a university education from Oxford. He is a wealthy businessman with multiple homes in the region, one in London. He has a sheep farm in Yorkshire. This man not only rescued you from death, but is now meeting all your needs. With every new gift and every act of kindness, you feel more and more loved. And as you get older, you realize his rescue cost him his son. And as you get older, you realize you were part of a tribe that also hated him and his people. And now behind the scenes, he's taking care of all the affairs for you to be his legal son. He's adopting you. And he wants to sign over to you all his wealth and possessions as sole heir. Now, that's two stories that are going to help us as we go. It's the kind of seriousness that John is thinking when he says, see what kind of love. Consider what kind of love. Now, the Apostle John is a great character. He's been blessed man in history. If I could choose somebody, it might be John. If I said, hey, you can go back and get in the Bible, be honest, I might be John. I didn't think that until I started studying. I thought, man, maybe John. 3 years with Jesus, that's pretty good, right? Walking with him, okay? He's at the first wedding. He sees water turned to wine. He sees the feeding of the 5,000. He sees lame and paralyzed people walk, blind people see. He witnesses the transfiguration, the glory of Jesus. He's in the garden with Jesus when he's arrested. He's at the foot of the cross holding his mama. He runs to the empty tomb and he spent time with the risen Christ. Now that's an impressive resume, okay? But now he's old and he's writing 1 John. And what's on his mind is love. Really, the whole Bible is a love story. It's a love story. See how, what kind of great love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Now, I like to say I rescued this little boy from our gym. And I just took him to his daddy, that's all I did. But this man in Rwanda, he rescued this boy and gave him all this stuff. But God has something greater than rescue, and even something deeper than adoption. And it cost him his son to save us from sin, death, and hell. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love. This is how we know love, that he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. We sang about it, the sacrifice that removed God's wrath for our sins. See, what God has done is more and is greater than rescue. It's greater than the love of sacrifice. It's greater than the love of mercy and forgiveness. And John tells us today, we should think about it. We should see it and wonder and think about what kind of love the Father has given us so that we can be called. God has a greater design. Not only rescue, deeper than adoption. His plan is to take us into His family and to make us children of God and change our nature. Change it. Okay? Now, God's under no obligation to do this. Okay? To show love to sinners. He could have said, you know what? You guys are guilty. You're enemies. You don't deserve saving. My son's too precious to die for you ungodly rebels. And it would all be true and right. And God could have said that. He could have, but He didn't. He could have said, I'm going to save these people. I'm going to save them from hell. I'm going to forgive their sins. I'm going to give them an eternal existence. But I'm going to give it to them on a planet somewhere that I design. They're not coming with me. I'm going to give them a planet. And I'm going to communicate with them through angels. Okay? If your Morrison boys need something, tell the angels. Angels fly over to God. Hey, the Morrison boys are in trouble. They need something. Go back and tell them, tough. Now, go back and minister to them. But they have no contact with the Father. They are guilty humans. And I am God. Why should I let them be with me? He could have done it that way. And if He would have, the Morrison boys would be on their knees, raising their hands, saying, hallelujah, I'm not going to hell. My sins are forgiven. I have an eternal existence. I'm just never going to be with God. He could have done it that way. But He didn't. He didn't stop there. More than rescue and deeper than adoption. Now, since I've said deeper than adoption several times, I want you to understand, I am for adoption. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. It is beautiful. Beautiful. To take someone that's not your own, bring them into your home, share your life's values and faith, treat them as family, give them your inheritance is wonderful and biblical. Okay? At Grace Baptist Church, you guys want to adopt somebody. We have an adoption fund. We will give you free money. Give you money to go adopt. Up to a certain point. And then if it goes more than that, we will give you money at no interest so that you can finish the adoption and you pay us back so we can do it to somebody else. We've had multiple peoples in our congregation and not in our congregation do this. So, I am for adoption. Our body is for adoption. I hope you adopt one day. And if you do, you call us. We will help you. But God's is still deeper, and John goes deeper. So, let me explain. Here's a story. Me and my lovely wife, we've been married how many years? 36? 7? 6? And we want to adopt. And we're going to adopt a girl. We've got a girl. We've got a boy. We've got a girl that's 30-something. We've got a boy in college. And we're going to bring her in our home. And we're going to go overseas to the Congo and get this little girl. We're going to bring her back. We're going to put her in our house. And we're going to just love her. We're going to show her off everywhere. We're going to provide for her. We're going to keep her safe. And we're going to do all we can to make her a Hubbard. We're going to make her a Hubbard. That's the first thing I'm going to teach her. What's your last name? Hubbard. You know, Hubbard. I want her to be us. You know, I stand a little bit like this at a basketball game years and years ago. My son finally played, and I look out there, and he's standing like this. Look, he stands like you. He looks like you. She looks like her. I pick up my daughter. I sound just like my wife. We biologically have given them traits, but I can't give that little girl I adopt us. Can't do it. I can't biologically go in her somehow and say, you have some of us. You have some of us. I can't change her DNA. She got that from her biological parents. But here's the great news. God can do that. Okay? And he does. He goes further by his Spirit. In you as a believer, he plants inside of you seeds. He doesn't just rescue you. He doesn't just adopt you. He births you. Oh my gosh. And you're an enemy and a rebel. He changes your nature so that you act like him. That little girl from the Congo may never act like us, even if we do all those great things, because she's not us. But if God comes and says, I'm going to plant a seed in you, and I'm going to change your nature, then Ronnie's going to look like Jesus and act like Jesus, because he's given it to him. Oh, what great love he has bestowed on you. That's what he's saying here. Okay, you will have a characteristic and a family resemblance. John 3:16, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you better be born again. You got to be born again. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of God. We've been born, not rescued, not adopted. Yes, we've been those things too, but we've been born, okay? 1 John 3:9 says, God's seed abides in us. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man, I'm going fast. God goes further than rescue, although he's rescued you. He goes further than the wealthy businessman we talked about in Rwanda by taking care of the legal and adopter. He rebirths you. He plants a seed, and he changes our nature. God actually says, you know what I'm going to do to them Morrison boys? I'm going to give them a little part of me. I'm going to give me to them, and I'm going to put it inside of them so they have it. And he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to. God gave himself to us inside the Holy Spirit. We have him living inside of us. And John today in the scriptures just wants you to know, as you sit at home and as you lie in bed, as you go to work, oh, see what kind of love the Father has given you. See what kind of, how deep it was and what it cost him and all that went into it. Okay? Focus on these things. This was God's plan before the foundation of the world. God knew man would sin. God knew the Morrison boys would be ugly. He just did. But he had a plan to redeem them. And he knew it would cost him his son. And the result of that plan is Romans 8:29. Whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed. He conformed them to the image of his son, so that they will be like him. When you see the Morrison boys, you say, the Morrison boys, boy, they're like Jesus. Why? They've been birthed. They've been given something. Didn't deserve it. Didn't deserve to be a Morrison. Well, Joey would like that, wouldn't he? He'd be hollering amen. But he birthed them that they might be the first, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. What God had planned before the foundation of the world was Jesus is going to be right here, and I'm going to bestow my love on them two boys so that they will be brothers of him. Jesus, Morrison. Hey, they're some brothers because they act alike. They look alike. They think alike. Why do they do that? Not because they can do it. Because he birthed them. He gave them himself. And now he has many sons and daughters. What a beautiful story. You should lay awake at night and say, oh, I've been doing this for about a month because I'm not real smart. So Joey knows if he don't call early, it's going to be you. And I have actually memorized this verse just by going over and over and over. And I just sit at home and think, oh, see what kind of love the Father has given me that I'm called children of God. That's unbelievable. I know how nasty I am. I know my thoughts and my pride. And he has said, no, you're my child. You're part of the family. God planned it so his son would have many brothers and sisters. How did he accomplish it? Adoption? Yes. Ephesians 1, 5. Rescue? Yes. He rescued you. But it's greater and deeper. He gave us himself. Through new birth. Born again. Seed planted according to Galatians 4, 29. If anybody be in Christ, they're a new creation. Marson boys were just Marsons. Till Christ says, see what kind of love I'm going to bestow on them boys. I'm going to give them part of myself, and they're going to be new creations. God put himself in us, and we take on his likeness. Now, if you're here, and you say, I'm saved, and you don't look like Jesus in some way, you got to think, oh my gosh, have I been born again? That's a legitimate question. Am I part of his family? Am I doing these things? If you're not, oh, repent. Man, cry out to God and say, I want part of this love. I want it. I want to be in the family. We take on his likeness and become part of his family. And that is fantastic news. I know at Grace Baptist Church, we're little theologians there. And I know Joey Farr is not far from the tree of theologians. But when it comes down to it, folks, it's about love. It's just about love. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has bestowed on us. See. I want you to behold it. Ponder it. Meditate on it. Stand in awe of the Father's love. The kind and the depth and what it cost him. It's bestowed on you. It was given. It didn't cost you anything. It was given to us to make us children of God. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love towards us while we're still sinners. Christ died for us. Ephesians 2 says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love for which he loved us, even when they were dead, he made them alive with Christ. Ephesians 3:14, Paul's prayer, okay? For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit on the outside in a planet? No, on your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love. Love. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth of God's love, the length of God's love, the heights of God's love, and the depth. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's something you should get excited about. See what manner of love the Father has given you, bestowed on you, that you get tagged children of God, and you become one of Jesus' brothers and sisters. It's beautiful. We sing a song. I thought about singing it for you guys, but my wife said, please don't. Just going to give you a couple of verses, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to beat everybody out to the restaurants, and y'all are going to say, see what manner of love God has bestowed on me, that I should get here before everybody else and eat. Man, think about what God has done. Oh, it's unbelievable. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he would give his only son to make a Morrison boy his treasure. Well, that's not in the song, but I like it that way. To make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one, Christ brings many a sons to glory. God, he springs into the family. See, think, meditate about the Father's love that he has bestowed on all who believe, that you should be called children of God. Let's pray.